Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
He kōna e purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Piki mai kake mai and welcome to this Our Changing World podcast from RNZ with me, Alison Balance. In this episode, we are getting friendly with frogs. New Zealand is home to four species of small native frogs, two in the North Island and one species on each of Maud and Stephens Island. Archie's frog on the mainland has the dubious distinction of being the world's most evolutionarily distinct and globally endangered amphibian species. The acronym for that, by the way, is EDGE. It's found on the Coromandel Peninsula and also at a site in the King Country west of Te Kawiti. Every year, the Department of Conservation monitors how well the King Country frog population is doing, and I'm about to head into the bush with dock ranger and frog expert Abby Quinnell.
Today we're looking for Archie's frogs and we've come out to Whareno Forest.
Yep, we're on a remote gravel road and I have to say, as we were driving here, we left some quite nice sunshine behind and we're driving it into a wall of rain. But is that a good thing from the frog's point of view?
Rain is good, absolutely rain is good. The cold temperature is not so good, but yeah, frogs like it wet.
Now, we're at the road end. I've been instructed to bring two pairs of walking shoes. So why is that?
Yeah, so that's for the protection of the frogs, essentially. So we're worried about introducing diseases. So we know that chytrid fungus is present in the population here, and we know that the population here can handle living with the particular strain of chytrid fungus that is here. But we definitely don't want, there's other strains of chytrid around the world, and there are other frog diseases, and we want to do everything we can to prevent those diseases getting here, and we certainly don't want to be responsible for introducing something to the population here. So we're going to wear one pair of footwear across the paddock, and then once we go into the bush, we'll change into our clean ones.
So they're clean because we've disinfected them with Trigene?
Yeah, so we've Trigened our boots. We've rinsed it off, so there's no residues, because that would be bad for frogs as well. And yeah, so we'll just have a clean pair of footwear for wearing in the frog area, and we call them clean, even though they're going to end up covered in mud.
Oh, great. Okay, I better get my raincoat on.
Yeah, good idea.
So we've walked in for a little while now into the bush, climbing a lot, I have to say, but the rain's holding off.
Touch wood.
And I've just stopped next to an A24 rat and stoat trap from Good Nature. And there's a white plastic container on the side of the tree.
So that's one of the foolproof bait stations, which is what we've used in the past, more or less since this project began. And then just in the last year, we've had all these A24 traps installed throughout the whole frog area. So historically, we've been doing rat control in the northern half of the frog area since maybe about 2003, 2004. And then maybe about a year ago, we got funding from Battle for Our Birds for the A24 traps.
Now, they're the self-resetting ones, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. And so this is the first place in our area that we're using them. But what that means, because we got the funding from Battle for Our Birds, we could install them throughout the whole frog area, whereas traditionally we've only done the pest control in the northern half of the frog area. And the research that we've been doing since 2005 was showing us that actually we need to do pest control on the whole area because the rats were having an impact on the frog population. And so with the A24 traps, because they only have to have their lures changed every 6 months, whereas the bait had to be replaced every 2 months, it means that we can do the whole area for less effort than what we would if we were baiting.
Now, how big is the frog area?
Off the top of my head, maybe 6 square kilometres.
So the Whareno region is much bigger than that.
Much bigger than that.
A little bit of it.
Yeah, yeah. So we're only in the northern sort of area and it's a bit higher, it's quite wet. And, yeah, they're only around here.
That's amazing. So this frog area is now off limits to people, isn't it?
Yeah, we really want people to keep out of it because of the risk of bringing in diseases and also trampling frogs as well, but especially disease.
So what are rat numbers like here? You say you've been poisoning them since 2003, 2004. You've now got these self-resetting traps. Is it keeping rat numbers down?
So far, so good. At 0% with our monitoring. So basically rats are at undetectable levels. That's not the same as saying they're not here at all, but there's very few of them here, which is awesome, awesome results. And our last rat monitoring, I think frogs were about 5%, so that's either frog prints or frogs in the rat tracking tunnels.
So the monitoring, you're putting out these tracking tunnels and you see what walks through them?
Yeah, so these are the ones with the ink pad in the middle and paper either side, and so something walks right through, it gets ink in the middle and then it keeps walking and leaves its little footprints behind. I guess the frogs don't walk through, they probably jump through, but they leave footprints just the same.
So they're turning up in 5% of your tracking tunnels. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, it's been, you know, sometimes it depends on the weather and the time of year, but we've had them as high as 12% in our tracking tunnels. It's so cute, their little footprints.
That's great. So this keeping rat numbers down really low is really working.
There was a master's thesis in 1993 looking at their range and distribution, and we had an intern in 2016, summer of 2016, who was in here repeating what had been done in that master's thesis. And so she basically found that where we do pest control, frogs were in the same number of places or more places, or there were more frogs, and in the areas where we didn't do pest control, then there was less frogs in less places. Yeah, and the exciting thing also was that where we have been doing pest control, they have expanded their range, and so they're slowly spreading out.
Oh well, we better keep walking, we're not at the hut yet.
No, no, and it's quite windy, it's a bit of a cold wind too.
You don't want to keep standing around is what you're trying to tell me. Okay, off we go. So we've been at the hut for a few hours, and we're waiting basically for it to get dark enough. So I would like to know how long you've known that there are Archie's frogs here.
I believe it was about 1991 when they discovered the frogs, and it's quite a cool story, actually. There was a public track through the middle of this frog area, and they had a group of Task Force Green volunteers, which was a sort of a work for the dole, maybe get young people with no experience, get a bit of experience for them.
So they weren't hardened conservationists?
No, they weren't, absolutely not. They might be now, I don't know. But yeah, so they were cutting the public track, and they're going, what's that noise? So Archie's frogs are not known for making noise. They don't croak like the introduced frogs. But they do have a tiny little squeal, or squeak, whatever you want to call it. It's a really little noise, and you're never expecting it. But they're going, what's that noise? And then one of the young people came along and said, what's this frog? And they're like, oh, that's a different frog. We haven't seen those in here before.
Oh, wow.
And,
good spotting.
Yeah, and at the time, I mean, Archie's frogs were only known from the Coromandel Peninsula. Like, they were nowhere else in the country. And even now, like, they're literally only on the Coromandel and here in Fiorino. So,
and there's a lot of country in between with no frogs.
Oh, yeah. I guess once upon a time, there might have been frogs in a lot more places than there are now. And so then in 1993, there was a master's student came in here, and she did a range and distribution survey and sort of worked out where there was frogs and where there wasn't and how widespread they were and how many there were in some places. And then the reason that they put the huts here where we are now and where the other hut is because that was where the most frogs were at
the time. So we're in Frog Central.
Absolutely. And because this area has had pest control since about 2003, 2004, the other side has only had pest control for maybe two seasons. So this really is Frog Central.
And that's why there is, for example, a boardwalk between the hut and the toilet.
Oh, yeah, because even then there could be frogs on the boardwalk, but it does make them a bit easier to see.
So we're safe during the day. These are nocturnal frogs?
Absolutely. You can find them in the day, but days that they tend to be out are kind of misty, overcast, has been raining, definitely quite wet.
But mostly they're nocturnal, which is why we're waiting for it to be dark.
Yeah.
And then what's our chore for the night?
So we've got a 10-metre by 10-metre grid that we search for four nights in a row.
Come rain or no rain?
Oh, absolutely. No matter what happens, we're going to be out there searching that grid.
So we have two other people in the hut with us. Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Lee Roderick. I work out at Puriora, and I'm just coming out to help for the week. Hey, I'm Gabby Keating, and I'm a temporary ranger for biodiversity.
And how long have you been in at this hut doing frog work for?
This is my third night.
This is my first week out monitoring at Whareareno.
What's the weather been like this week?
Very wet, yeah.
Torrential rain on the Monday, pretty cold, but we found a decent amount of frogs, which is cool. And yeah, just like misty rain last night as well, so hopefully it doesn't bucket down tonight.
So how long do these nights last? And when you say a decent amount of frogs, what's a decent amount of Archie's frogs to find?
So we've found around the early 20s this week, but like last week we found about 50 on one of the nights, so that was awesome.
So what time did you get to bed this morning?
This morning we finished at about 10 past 2.
I'm looking forward to it. So we have very, very slowly made our way up from the hut to the grid, which isn't very far, but I feel like we've been walking in slow motion, but there's been a really good reason for that.
Yeah, so there was quite a few frogs out at the side of the track that we were walking up, and in fact there was a couple of frogs out in the middle of the track that we were walking up. So we have very carefully looked at every spot before we've put our foot down, and actually we've also looked at any tree that we put our hand against for balance to make sure there's no frogs there before we've put our hand there.
Now the first frog we saw was actually a tiny little one. It was about the size of my thumbnail. That was so cute.
Yeah, if that, it may have been smaller than that.
And then some of them were a little larger, but they're still very small frogs, aren't they?
Yeah, they're definitely smaller than the introduced Australian frogs.
And mostly brownish, but brown with sort of almost goldy markings and a really green one. So there's quite a variety in colour.
Some beautiful ones. I love the ones that have a lot of bright green. And then some of them have that beautiful bright orangey red along their sides as well when they open their legs out.
Okay, so we're at the grid and we're just looking everywhere. Is that the plan?
Yeah. So, like, if you're looking at this grass that's in front of us, there's a clump of grass. This is rice grass. If you can't see, there's bits where you can't see, then you have to very gently sort of move things so that you can actually see the whole thing. But we are searching for emergent frogs, so we're not digging in the leaf litter, we're not lifting logs or rocks or anything, but we are looking quite hard. We're also searching up to 2 metres high, up the trunks of trees.
And if we find one, we have a careful protocol for how to pick it up, put it in a plastic bag, using a special glove, mark where it was found and hang it up.
Yeah, that's the one. Hang it up safely out of reach. Measure where it was found, record all our notes, and then keep searching until we've finished searching the whole grid.
Yeah, so the idea is to have a light touch. The frogs are already out and about, and we're just borrowing them temporarily and we'll bring them back.
That's a great way to put it.
So picture this. It's very dark, it's raining lightly, and we each have a lane. Think parallel swimming pool lanes to search. We're on our hands and knees in very wet forest, basically crawling along. We move so slowly and carefully. It's like a weird Tai Chi exercise, searching every square centimetre to catch every frog that's out and about. We do this for about 2 hours. Then it's time to weigh, measure and take mug shots of every frog. We're back at the hut. I stopped recording because it got a bit wet up there, but some of you were much more successful than me. I found 3. How many did you find, Lee?
I found 16.
I found 10.
And do we know how many Abby got?
7 or 8 or something like that.
Nearly 40.
So that's not a bad haul for a couple of hours. And now there's a lot of processing.
Absolutely.
So what are you going to do with them now?
We're going to be setting them on some place cards, and then we set that place card in the middle of a mirror stage, and we're taking photos of the top side view of them, front and sides.
So you've got number 4 there. That's a big frog.
Yeah, it's quite a big frog, so I'd say this one's a female because the females get bigger than the males. So up to a certain size, it could be either female or male. We've got no way to tell, but once they get this big, it's got to be a girl.
So are you seeing these frogs from year to year?
Some of them we only find once, and some of them we find multiple times from year after year. There's definitely frogs that we've found most years.
And what is all of this telling you? Do you have results yet on You know, is the population stable? Is it going up or down?
So from the microcapture data that we're collecting, looking at individuals in the population, you can look at survival from year to year. You can look at recruitment of juveniles into the breeding population. But basically from what we've done, we can tell that definitely rat control has made a difference for the frog population. And so where we have rat control, the frog population is doing really well. We're getting lots of frogs and it's also expanding its range. As you can see, sometimes they get a bit squirmy.
Beautiful copper-coloured armpits, that one.
See their beautiful long toes.
Great climbers, aren't they?
Oh, they're amazing.
When we went up this evening, there were lots on the track, and when we came back down, we saw just one on a tree. Do they go up during the night?
They're coming out from wherever they've spent the day and making their way across the ground to wherever they want to sit for the night. And then they can quite happily just sit in one spot for the night and not
move
much.
You've done some work with trail cameras that have showed that.
Yeah. So we had trail cameras taking photos every 10 minutes throughout the night. So there was a lot of photos to look through. The frog would come out and then it would sit there for 2 hours and then it would turn around and then it would sit there for another 3 hours and then it would go away. So I think they do a lot of sitting. Yeah, so they've been described as sit and wait predators. So they excel at sitting and then waiting, and then eventually something comes past that they want to eat and they jump on it and stuff it into their mouth. They jump quite well, but they've never perfected the art of landing, and so they have a tendency to face plant. Sometimes it's more nose plant or like upside down, and if it doesn't all fit in their mouth, apparently they can use their front feet to try and stuff it in a bit more.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that. It would be great.
Oh, 0.19
of a gram.
0.19 of a gram. That's ridiculously small.
Yeah, oh, but if you look goodness. At it, it is ridiculously small.
He's like the size of my pinky fingernail, just about.
What's our heaviest one so far, Gabby?
4.66.
And actually, let's talk about Archie's frog breeding, because that's quite different. Archie's frogs, the female will lay the eggs and then the male will guard them. So they'll have a little nest somewhere under a rock or under a log or tucked in a hollow punga, or somewhere there'll be a little hole. And the male Archie's frog will guard those eggs until they hatch. And so they don't have a free-swimming tadpole stage. They hatch as little froglets, and so they still have a tail, but they have those rudimentary little limbs, and they'll wriggle their way up onto their dad's back, and they'll sit on their dad's back while they develop into tiny little frogs with no tail. And they're just so tiny, and they'll sit on their dad's back until they're big enough to leave, and then they'll leave, and then dad will finally come out from his nest and get on with his life again till next year.
So before we can go to bed, there is one last job to do.
Well, we've got to put the frogs back where they came from.
Because we left little markers so we can return them to the exact spot.
Yeah, so, I mean, goodness knows what the frogs think about it all. Must be like being abducted by aliens.
But it's all for good conservation science.
Yeah, and so from doing this for the number of years that we've been doing it, we know that we need to be doing rat control to protect these frogs so that the population can thrive up here.
Well, it's certainly great to see so many of these beautiful little Archie's frogs out and about in this wet forest.
Well, they love it when it's wet. And, I mean, it's not so great for us, but it's fantastic walking around up here. And, like, we're so slow when we're walking, you know. You're, like, looking every place you put your foot to make sure there's no frog. But it's cool that they're all over the place up here. They look beautiful in the torchlight because they're shiny, they shine in the torchlight. They look like little jewels, or green and orange and brown. They're just gorgeous.
Thanks, Abby. That was Dock Ranger Abby Quinnell, who really likes her job. And we also heard from frog wranglers Gabby Keating and Lee Roderick. I'm Alison Balance, and this Our Changing World podcast from RNZ first aired on the 7th of February 2019. You can find photos of the frogs and some useful links, as well as the audio, on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. That's the place to head if you'd like to sign up for our free weekly email newsletter, which we send out every Wednesday, with links to the week's stories, as well as some treats from our enormous back catalogue. We are also freely available as a podcast at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher and Radio Public. Our sister podcast, The Kakapo Files, is keeping up with all the breaking kakapo news. These giant flightless night parrots have a lot going on this summer. You can find The Kakapo Files online at rnz.co.nz/kakapo. Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are RNZ Science. Many thanks for your company. Bye for now. Kia pai tō rā.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.